we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with an item from a digital TV guide read by Rory Morrison.
Intolerable cruelty. Catherine Zeta-Jones is coming to Sky Box Office.
Thanks to Stephen Hull of Barkingside for that. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and a newcomer, Spectator political editor Peter Oborne. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Armando Iannucci. Andy, who's cross about their report receiving negative publicity?
Well, it's obviously been a pretty terrible week. News-wise, it's quite hard when you do this show to read the newspapers when you're frightened of what you'll find in them. I suppose the only comic prospect that we were treated to this week in this whole story was the sight of that old favourite, Jeff Hoon, giving us his Three Wise Monkeys routine. You know, hear no evil, speak no evil, and actually the evil wasn't referred upwards to me, so I didn't see it. And he claims not to have been aware of these Red Cross reports of torture and abuse in Iraq until quite recently. And this seemed to be a pattern with Jeff Hoon. And really, there are only three possibilities. One is that he saw the material and is fibbing. The second is that he saw the material and has forgotten it. And the third is that he didn't see the material because his junior officials think he's just too thick to make it worth their while showing it to him. And either way, it makes him not fit, I think, to be minister for sweet shops, actually.
I rather enjoyed the moment, you're thinking of getting up, that moment when Hoon had done his bit, and Nicholas Soames stood up and said, "I think we can all trust the Red Cross." And you said, "Now, I bet you can." He looks like he's been eating 18 food parcels a week. They sent him. I think he's a major client of the Red Cross.
I like to widen the point which Andy was making there about Hoon. I mean, it doesn't just apply to him. It's any government minister. I mean, what I want to know is, what do they put in these red boxes? Because we're told about them, full of bulging with material. But whenever something like this happens, they've never seen the documents at all. I mean, what do they do? What decisions do they make?
I think in the red boxes there is a pile of documents, but right on top is a blindfold. I think Blair is working up to the allegation that, in fact, all of Iraq was a fake.
Mm. It all happened in a truck in Preston. Yeah.
The political scandal of the alleged torture of Iraqi prisoners by British troops has continued this week when it was revealed that the Red Cross had sent a detailed report to the government as long ago as February. The Daily Mirror pictures are thought to be the biggest fake photo scandal since a picture was published last year of Tony Blair looking sincere. Peter, welcome to the News Quiz. Kilroy Silk, just say no. Discuss.
Kilroy Silk is a man with an amazing suntan. He started off in the Labour Party, apparently, and then he joined the Liberal Democrats, or the Social Democrats, or some such, and then he joined a special political party called the Sunday Express. And then he's joined maybe the Independence Party. He's standing as a candidate in the European elections, isn't he, Kilroy Silk?
He is indeed, yes. Mm.
Yeah. Why does a career in daytime television qualify you to become a MEP?
Talked to Boris Johnson about careers in television. Our new arts shadow?
No, Boris will be an outstanding shadow minister for the arts.
Oh, he'll stand out all right. I'd like to say one word in defence of Robert Kilroy Silk. But
you see his charm offensive towards the Europeans. It was lovely. He got up and he said, "It's not that I don't love Europeans." He said, "I'll go to Europe on my holidays. I love the Spaniards." He said, "I'm not sure if I trust them." You thought that's a you're a politician. He used to host a daytime show. You know, you're talking about trust.
He also said the British public are fed up being patronised.
Yes.
This from someone who made a career out of going, "That must have been really terrible."
No, but... And what we're all forgetting is that he has been a Member of Parliament. Mm-hmm. I stress the words hasn't been.
The former daytime chat show host Robert Kilroy Silk has announced he's standing as a UK Independence Party MEP candidate and this week helped launch their European election campaign. Kilroy said that although he knew the public were disillusioned with politicians, he wasn't expecting such a high level of hostility. Obviously, he'd completely forgotten that he was Robert Kilroy Silk. Armando, who thinks Auntie ain't in trouble after all?
Oh, this is BBC.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a Hutton. They launched an investigation into what went wrong over the Hutton inquiry, and they came up with the conclusion that no one in the BBC was to blame because it was all Greg Dyke's fault and Andrew Gilligan's fault, and they've all resigned. So technically, it wasn't the BBC's fault.
You've got it wrong. Finally, everybody knew when the Hutton report was published that it was a load of nonsense and complete travesty, apart from the BBC, who sacked the chairman and the chief executive. Finally, the BBC as well has caught up with the rest of us and realised that the Hutton report was a complete travesty.
Are we allowed to say that? Is it not wrong to say that the Hutton report is incorrect? Or,
I mean, No, you can say that, and you should say that as often as possible and as loudly as you can.
Hutton report was a complete travesty.
Yeah.
Lord Hutton looked into the sinking of the Titanic, he would completely exonerate the iceberg. Saying it's not within his brief, he's just examining the events that occurred on the ship. It was all due to five fat journalists.
Even as we speak, a little light is going off in Mark Byford's office.
Intruder in sector 4. Eliminate news quiz. Eliminate news quiz.
Can I say, I don't think the Hutton report was a complete travesty. I think he highlighted on the true cycle of events, which were these. Blair said there are weapons of mass destruction. The BBC reported this. This went out on the World Service, which was picked up by British intelligence in Iraq, who heard it off the radio, thought it must be true, wrote it down, sent it to Blair, who said, at long last, I now have the evidence that confirms it.
It's the BBC's internal inquiry into the Kelly affair published this week, which, by an amazing coincidence, clears the BBC and places all the blame on Andrew Gilligan, who, by an even more amazing coincidence, has already left the BBC. BBC insiders attacked the inquiry while it was going on. Michael Palin said, I never expected the Spanish Inquisition. Alan, listen to this.
Five young apprentices are working on the site.
Nobody knows, nobody knows.
Five young apprentices trying to get it right.
No, no, nobody knows.
The foreman said, I know you'll say you've heard it all before, but when you five have served your time, you'll soon be earning more. Don't step back off that scaffolding, boy, we're on the seventh floor.
Then there were four, and nobody knows where the other one went.
Why is bunking off school good for your career prospects?
Right. Do you know I can still wipe a joint with a moleskin?
Oh, please.
I know these days it sounds like something you do in Ann Summers on the third floor, but my father was a plumber, and I was briefly my father's plumber's mate. And when you finish doing a union joint, you wipe it with a moleskin so it's a perfect seal. Well, wipe it with a sealskin so it's a perfect mole. But I, this is about people being brought up the way I was brought up, to be an artisan. They can leave school and go off and do something useful. I made the huge mistake at the age of 14 of getting out of my father's van and sitting A-levels or something, O-levels probably then, and I would much rather tonight be up in the loft with some nervous woman whose pipes had just burst. The next generation are going to be much luckier, and they're going to have hammers and real money.
What I think is really interesting about the answer Alan just gave is, how does he know there's a third floor at Ann Summers?
One of the very little known facts, of course, and I suspect this is behind all of this, is that Tony Blair bunked off school. He bunked off school and ran away to the Bahamas. And that explains everything.
This week, Gordon Brown has relaunched the apprenticeship scheme for 14 to 15-year-olds. At the launch of the scheme, the Chancellor said there were too many adults without basic skills, a claim strenuously denied by the Deputy Prime Minister, the Foreign Secretary, the Defence Secretary. At the end of round one, everybody's level. And we start round two with a cutting scene in The Independent.
Michael Portillo's mother, Terry Pratchett, was born and raised in Chorley Wood, the happiest town in Britain.
Thanks to John Gill from Barnstaple for sending that in. Andy, who might be swapping their old football scarves for a new tie?
Can I just check if there are any Liverpool fans in before I start this answer? Yeah. Yeah, very weary man in the front row. Liverpool Football Club have been in extreme financial difficulty, like nearly all the major football clubs. And Liverpool, for reasons, maybe they don't read the newspapers, I don't know, but the person they've been courting, he's the Prime Minister of Thailand, he is a billionaire, but he's been presiding over a regime that in the last 3 months has killed over 2,500 of its own citizens.
Maybe you ought to buy a Millwall.
Well, he might well do now, because as I understand it, the deal with Liverpool has fallen through, because luckily, perhaps for Liverpool, a Scouse builder who's nearly as rich has stepped forward and said he will buy the club.
Did he say, I want to buy the club? Oh, definitely next Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm just waiting on materials.
Yeah. If the Thai Prime Minister buys Liverpool, can he do what he likes with them? Is that... I just have this bizarre image in my head of wandering around Bangkok and seeing Danny Murphy in a window.
Yes. So,
you like to see me dribble?
It's the battle for the ownership of Liverpool Football Club between the Thai Prime Minister, Thaksin Shinawat, believed to be making a bid using government funds, and Liverpudlian millionaire Steve Morgan. And it's not just Thailand that's interested in Premiership clubs. The French are reputedly looking at Arsenal. A bid for Man U is being planned in the USA. And Leeds are under serious consideration by the government of Chad. Peter, who's had yet another black day this week?
Ah, you may be referring to a chap called Conrad Black, who owned The Spectator, and as well as the Telegraph, and other publications. The Catholic Herald is the most distinguished of the group by far. And I understand that he possibly has been asked by Hollinger Inc., the owner of the Telegraph, for $1,250,000,000, an awful lot of money, which they claim he has extracted from the group over the last 10 years. Now, that explains a lot, actually, and I've worked this out, and I was thinking about, I'm going to sue him as well, because it's not generally known, but if you write for The Spectator, you get paid nothing of any significance at all. You get paid, you're virtually paying them. And the dawning realization that the fact all the money that should have gone to me has gone to Conrad Black and his missus, it's going on sort of enormous 747 private aeroplanes and Rolls Royces and thousands of pairs of shoes and sort of consortia in Palm Beach. And I mean, I will be suing him as well.
You should sue him, because, I mean, he probably hasn't got the money anymore, but at least he could send you some of his wife's hats.
Yes, and that would be helpful.
I think it was a lovely insight to the world of the rich and famous that Lady Conrad is a very generous tipper when she goes to expensive clothes shops, but she claims the tips back as part of her working expenses. And similarly, it's alleged that she made contributions to charity that she also claimed back as a working expense. And that's how rich people get rich, all right?
Press tycoon Conrad Black and his wife Barbara Emile have faced further allegations about their luxurious lifestyle after Hollinger International sought to strengthen its $1.25 billion suit for alleged misuse of company funds. Lord Black's alleged to have made the company pay for a complete refit of a 1958 Rolls Royce so he and his wife could travel through London in classic style. Though for most of us Londoners, classic style means a bus with some weirdo sitting next to you trying to tell you about the nuclear bomb he's got in his tobacco tin. Armando, listen to this. Amanda, who's been royally absorbed in Greek culture this week?
Ah, I thought this was going to be about the Athens Olympics.
No.
But it's not. It's Prince Charles.
Mm-hmm.
He went off to Greece to Mount Athos. That's...
And the other three musketeers were far behind.
One for the scandal sheets there. There's an Orthodox Greek monastery come holiday camp on Mount Athos that Prince Charles has been visiting fairly frequently, and there is a lot of talk that he might actually be converting, which could create a theological crisis, because he is also defender of the faith and head of the Church of England. So he may have a schism with himself, which would be a first. He may have to put himself on trial and have a tiny civil war. yes, he's gone all spiritual and Eastern.
This week, Prince Charles has spent a few days at a remote Greek monastery on Mount Athos. The prince helped the monastery by auctioning some of his watercolours and raised an amazing €4.52. Alan, who's nursing a grievance about the posh who won't wash?
Well, there was a lot of toing and froing. It's the Royal College of Nursing annual conference, which makes me extremely excited at the very thought of it. There's a great row about what nurses will and won't do. They want to be healthcare officials and all the rest, and they don't want to empty bedpans, and they don't want to... they don't want to be Hattie Jakes, in short.
Apparently some nurses had said, you know, they didn't go into nursing to wash people's bottoms. And I just thought it was rather ironic that in modern medicine we have invented, you know, microscopic cameras that can go into the ventricles of people's heart, but we haven't invented a machine that can wash somebody's bottom.
who did the nurses want to perform this menial task? Is there going to be a new category of assistant or something? What is their counter-proposal?
I think they call them health workers. When there are no beds, patients have to sleep on them.
As long as John Reid, the health secretary, doesn't do the job, it's fine by me.
Senior nurse has criticised younger nurses who refuse to attend to patients' basic needs at a speech at the Royal College of Nursing annual conference. Nurses want to offload so many of their duties that soon hospitals will have to employ women whose only job it is to be chased round their beds by Benny Hill. And we've reached the end of round two and everybody's scores are still level. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the West Australian newspaper.
The first car to break down at the Daytona 500 was that of Mark Martin, sponsored by Viagra. Mike Bianchi reported, "Of course, the mechanical problems were complicated when the pit crew lifted the hood and couldn't get it back down again."
Thanks to Bill Budworth for that. Andy, listen to this.
Yippee-i-oh.
Ghost Riders in the Sky by the late Johnny Cash. Andy, who's putting Ghost Riders in the Sky into storage?
I've really no idea. It's not British Airways.
Singapore. Singapore Airlines.
Correct.
They have several very long flights, and occasionally someone dies on a flight and they don't know what to do with the body. And if you're fully booked, there isn't a spare chair. So they've now introduced a cupboard, ominously described in the newspaper as next to one of the exits.
Um,
I'm surprised that Singapore Airlines, where everything is done so well and properly, needs people would drop dead on that sort of flight.
Oh yes, but in Singapore, I mean, the body is pampered.
Yes.
Clean. Whiskey miniatures and you know.
She probably, the air hostess probably includes it in that opening safety announcement. You know, she probably goes, and the exits are there, there, and there, and if you're not looking well, over there.
Singapore Airlines is introducing a new cupboard to store unexpected corpses on long-haul flights. The airline's new fleet of Airbus 340-500 aircraft boasts a discreet locker long enough to store an average-sized body, making it much comfier than economy class. Peter, how has Women's Lib liberated women this week?
Yeah, these are appalling questions.
You sound just like Boris.
There's a new kind of woman emerging, according to the top trend spotter in the United States. And this is a woman who's tired of being at the workplace and wants perhaps to be at home with kept by her man, but on the other hand, doesn't want to do the housework or cook for him, etc. Just wants to be kept and have domestic servants. It's the latest development, actually, in feminism. If you follow feminism through from the 1950s, you start off with the template of the woman who stays at home and does the housework. And then you get this radical movement to get them into the workplace and run the country. But now they want out of the workplace and back home. But the trouble is, they won't do any work at home. So us chaps, we have to do everything now.
Can you not include me in us chaps? Look at me like this, you know. Can I distance myself from whatever you're going to say next? As an us chap who does very little.
A new report suggests that a growing number of women prefer the idea of becoming full-time housewives, but without the chore of actually doing any housework. Ms. Saltzman's report last year, The Future of Men, predicted the rise of metrosexuals, straight men who care about fashion, food and grooming, but have unhealthy relationships with underground railway trains. Armando, who isn't using the discovery of arms in Scotland as a pretext for invasion?
This is US Secretary of State Colin Powell. So embarrassed by being American that he wants to be Scottish, he's commissioned a coat of arms, displaying, no doubt, the traditional heraldic symbols of a lion and a million Iraqis rampant. He's allowed to be Scottish because I think he had a Scottish mother, actually.
But actually, Powell, if anything, it's a Welsh name. Mm. So why doesn't he have a Welsh coat of arms?
Do they have them?
I mean, they why not? I mean, I would have thought...
It's Colin Powell.
It just seems... it just seems to me...
Powell of Foreign Policy.
What right does he have to have a Scottish coat of arms? My mum's Scottish. I don't have a coat of arms, you know.
But you can.
You do have a right.
Don't have a right.
You're only granted it if you have distinguished yourself.
Oh, yeah.
The US Secretary of State Colin Powell has applied for a coat of arms to mark his Scottish ancestry. Scottish coats of arms are awarded by the Lion King of Arms, who's assisted in his duties by the Lord Bambi and the Lord Finding Nemo. Alan, which shady characters have been cleaning up down at the bottom of the garden?
There is a gang that turns up in sheds and puts all the pots in order and all the bottles of pesticide in rank of toxicity and polishes your trowels and washes the ants and the various animals and shuts the door and goes away again. And they never steal anything except fishing tackle. So if you've got a shed without fishing tackle, you're in luck, because these blokes come in like fairies in the night and do it, and they go away again. Not like all fairies in the night. I mean, sometimes they do it and stay. But, I mean, these two... this gang goes away again. It's sort of hole-in-the-wall gang, and it does sheds.
But they've been filmed on CCTV, going in and ruthlessly tidying up. They'll be on Crime Watch, you know. Nick, what's his face, when he gets so cross about everything, Have you seen these animals burst into people's houses and put the socks away? Yeah, but they only do sheds at the moment, don't they? I don't think.
I think they're being signed up to do the Olympic Games.
Police in Derbyshire are baffled by the behaviour of a pair of burglars who break into people's sheds and then tidy them up. Tragically, another shed in the area was broken into and left in a terrible state. Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen is helping police with their inquiry. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, this is from Mr. A. Hopewell, and it's from the rules of the British Pétanque Association, which is French bulls, and it says, the feet must be entirely inside the circle without touching it and must not leave the circle or be lifted completely off the ground until the thrown bull has touched the ground. No other part of the body may touch the ground outside the circle. A player who has lost a lower limb need place only one foot inside the circle.
Peter.
Yes, this comes from Sarah King, and this is from the Shamley Green Parish Magazine, which records that, sadly, one of our members died last weekend. She had been going downhill recently and slipped away.
Armando.
This is from Tim O'Malley. A sign in a front garden near Chorley in Lancashire reads as follows. For sale. Well-rotted horse manure. Last before M6.
I've got one here, Simon, from the Cambridge Evening News. As an ichthyologist, Dr. Jones studies many fish, but the salmon remains his first love. He told me it is a fascinatingly complex creature, and very little is known about it. Indeed, I wrote a book on it a few years back that consisted mainly of things I didn't know.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score. Andy and Peter have done very well, but Armando and Alan have done a whole lot better. And before we leave you, here's an item from the Sunday Times.
For many people, the boat race is an elitist event between two teams of privileged athletes. For others, it's an opportunity to renew old friendships. Harry Carpenter certainly thought so when, at the end of the 1977 boat race, he cooed, "Ah, isn't that nice? The wife of the Cambridge president is kissing the cocks of the Oxford crew."
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Peter O'Bourne, Armando Iannucci and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and George Poles, and the producer was Simon Nichols.